In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, on this great feast of our Lord, his entry into Jerusalem, which is its proper name, is the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, but we all call it Palm Sunday, because naming it after that shorthand of all of those signs of victories that you all now hold. What I want to focus on today is the power of giving witness and that of the sign which Christ gave. That is, the raising of Lazarus. Yesterday we celebrated the raising of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days and was buried in a tomb. At that event, there were many, many witnesses, many Jews who loved that man, Lazarus, who witnessed Christ's love for Lazarus and the great miracle, the great sign that our Lord performed. They heard those divine words which came out of Jesus' mouth, Lazarus, arise. They saw, touched, and even smelled that man that came from the tomb, made alive and whole and only wrapped in grave clothes. Lazarus is the sign of Jesus' great power over death. There is only one being that has that kind of power. Only one being who could command Hades and take from him one who he had already swallowed up in its belly. Only God, the creator of the universe, could have that kind of command and that kind of power. And those faithful witnesses, they made that connection. They knew, and they did not keep it to themselves. They began to spread the word to nearby Jerusalem. So it's important to know and understand this entry into Jerusalem of our Lord sitting upon a donkey and a colt, to know what was going on in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, many, many great, great crowds were gathering for the feast of Passover. That is, the Old Testament Pascha. It was going to take place in 6 days. There was a gathering of people from all over into God's city. That city was filled to the brim with thousands to bring their lamb for the sacrifice in the temple and to remember the account of Exodus and to renew their covenant with God by eating of that Paschal lamb on that supper on that Friday. To these thousands, those witnesses in Bethany came into God's city and told them what they had seen, what they had heard, what they had smelled, what they had touched. It was a miracle wrought by Jesus of Nazareth, a miracle that raised a man from the dead after he was buried, after Hades had already swallowed him whole. And that man was on his way to Jerusalem now. He's coming from Bethany over the Mount of Olives to the gate of the city. Who would not want to go see if this was true? Who would not want to go see that proof? Who would not want to see Lazarus and marvel at the sign that Jesus gave and to praise Jesus? So they say among themselves, let us set aside these preparations in the temple and in the marketplaces for this feast, and let us see this Lazarus and Jesus who raised him. St. Gregory Palama says that the simple people believed in him in every respect and did not keep their faith quiet, but began to preach his divinity by deeds and by words. It is these who also said, let us celebrate his entry. So the children climb the trees and they lay branches, and men lay their cloaks in front of him as he draws near to the city. What rises from that great crowd? They shout and they sing, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Hosanna, the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. They cry out, Hosanna, for that word is a plea to be saved, and it's only addressed throughout all of Scripture to God. Throughout all of Scripture, we have this knowledge that this is a word reserved for a plea to God to be saved. And that's the word that is on the lips of this crowd. They know that Jesus can save them, even from death itself, because they are proclaiming him as King and as God and the Messianic coming one. Jesus is received, in other words, as a king and praised as a savior. He is going to Jerusalem to wed himself to the people as Lord, as King, as Christ, who can save them from the dead. And they are rejoicing in the foretaste of that knowledge by seeing Lazarus raised from the dead. St. Nikolai has this on this day. He says this: there were vast waves of humanity who had turned their backs on Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, on the sufferers of the sacrifices and on the priests, and on the whole of this machinery of the market society that they had created, who had turned their backs on all this and had turned their faces to the Mount of Olives, where the wonder worker was coming. What use could the dead towers of Jerusalem with the living dead within them be to the hungry and the thirsty souls of the people who are seeking a window into the closed heavens and a sight of the living God? Both forms of pride, that of the Romans who occupied that land and of the Pharisees that filled Jerusalem, were incapable of creating a single hair to be white or to be black. And lo, descending from the Mount of Olives was the one who by his voice called forth 4 days dead from the grave, raising him from the dead and delivering him from the grave's corruption. This is the triumphal entry, as death's power is seen and overcome. That is why it's a triumphal entry. Even with only the raising of one man, Lazarus, from the grave, people begin to shout over the victory. How much more in 8 days' time will they see that the power of his empty tomb and praise him? The power of the coming of Christ's presence, like he did in Jerusalem on that day, reveals what goes on in your heart, though. Not everyone was rejoicing, as we heard. Our Lord, for many reasons, chose this week to take up his passion and crucifixion and burial, which he initiates by this entry into Jerusalem. The chief priests among them, or the chief reason, rather, among them, is that which we opened up with, that the Passover was happening on that Saturday. It would be a coincidence, it's happening at the same time, not by happenstance, that the Sabbath rest and the Passover would be on the same day. This ensured that many, many pious people would be gathered in that city. For it would be what St. John, the evangelist, calls a high Sabbath. The great crowds would be gathered so all would witness the salvation on the cross and in the burial and in the empty tomb that is coming into their midst. That's why our Lord chose this time and at this place. St. Nikolai says that Christ coming into Jerusalem is the climax of the revelation of the desires of the heart of all of those who were there. All that they had seen and heard and spoken with or of Christ in his earthly ministry would now come to a head. What were they to do with him? Receive him as Lord and King, entering into his own city, as the simple people did, crying Hosanna, or desire to take away the sign of his power by plotting murder of the sign, Lazarus, and of the maker of that sign himself, Jesus. St. Nikolai says this, that the chief priests were so angry at his entry because the people took their attention off of them and gave it to Jesus. They were losing attention at the religious markets, giving it over to the one who could heal illnesses, who had cast out demons, who had taught with authority that was not like that of the chief priests. How similar is this to what happens in our own day, when our own supposed secular chief priests, our economists, our great business people, speak against moderation and simplicity? what happens when we Christians speak of a kind of limitation of our earthly goods and choose spiritual ones instead. Are we supported, or do they drive us instead to give all of our attention to finding a way to consume endlessly, to pursue wealth and the signs of wealth ceaselessly? This is always to their benefit and to our spiritual harm. If you don't think this is the case, think about all that you do, pay attention to it. Is it almost entirely about earthly cares and earthly goods, or is it largely about matters of the Spirit? It doesn't even have to go that deep. Just think about your time. It is of the earth. If that is what you see, then try to focus on the Spirit just a little bit more and see what the results are. I guarantee you that the chief priests of this age will emerge to try to convince you to act otherwise. Here is one simple test that we can give to ourselves this week. For you, perhaps, courageous and brave ones. Move aside all that you can in order to come to the Holy Week services. Nothing that's an actual obligation, something that could be put off to another time, a meeting that could be moved. And as many of you as can, when we prepare in Pascha this way, you will especially strive for Holy Thursday and Holy Friday. See what happens. See if these chief priests emerge, or if maybe that part of you that notices, I don't actually love these things as much as I thought I did. But then we can change. So now, with Christ's entry into Jerusalem, the chief priests have boiled over. They're fully joined with the Pharisees' opposition and hatred of Jesus. Now in earnest, they sought murder and desired its quick fulfillment. They boiled over because the great crowd gathered in Jerusalem for the feast and what was going to go on in their temple. They rather swarmed to see Lazarus, and seeing him, began to believe in the Lord Jesus. And perhaps also because the Passover was very close at hand, they were afraid, and all the people gathered in Jerusalem for the feast. In these last weeks, we must understand there would be many, many festal meals, many events going on at the temple. They would rather go to Bethany and see the dead man who had been raised to life and then come to believe in Christ. And so while the people were seeking salvation, crying, Hosanna, their spiritual leaders were exerting themselves to fence them in and hinder them on the path to salvation. However, weak human hands can never prevail against that of the Almighty Creator. His will is done in spite of what the opposing forces of either heaven or either hell or on earth happen. Heaven's will be there. It will prevail. So the plotters, they desire murder, and it harms their souls, but it does not prevent Christ in the least from what he is set out to accomplish. For it was death itself that he now was in haste and desired to enter, so that he could despoil it, so that he could trample on it and render it destroyed. This is what is happening in Jerusalem and in all the hearts and souls gathered there. They were beginning to see in the presence of Jesus Christ those who are preparing to place, he was preparing to place a seal on salvation, on the pinnacle and end of his earthly ministry. And by his presence, the human heart is being revealed as one that desires salvation or it does not. We too, my brothers and sisters, have an interior Jerusalem, one that Christ desires to enter in triumph and bestow on us salvation within our very midst. He desires that we too receive the seal of salvation in his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. So let us on this day be like the simple people. Let us marvel at the power over and command of Hades revealed in Lazarus' resurrection at Jesus Christ's word, and sing Hosanna and rejoice as we receive our King. Jesus weds himself to all those who receive him in this way. He makes that interior city truly his own, where he may dwell and bestow on us human beings all that he is as God. He is our benevolent King and wants us to be not just his subjects, but sharers in himself, that we too may overcome death as he bestows life everlasting to us. That is the triumphal entry that we are celebrating, not just the one that occurred in that blessed year, earthly year in Jerusalem, with those children and those people who rejoiced amidst their preparations for the Passover feast, but also the entry of Christ into each and every person who receives him. When that happens, we have the same experience and the same cause for rejoicing as they did, but even greater. Ours is not just the sign of victory over death that we are celebrating. It is the rejoicing at the entry of the victorious one himself into our very being. So let us rejoice on this day, for salvation is being wrought in our midst. Let us sing Hosanna as a plea for that victory and a joy and the full hope of its fulfillment. Do this, and we will be able to stand with our Lord when this joy is put to the test as we witness the King wed himself to us in all the events that are coming this week of blessed, great, and holy week. All of those events that we are about to enter are the events where we need to see Christ wedding himself to us and are the entry and his redemption and bringing us salvation. We glimpse that, and it's initiated today by our Lord. So let us rejoice and sing Hosanna and wave our palms of victory, not just as a sign, but in victory and in joy that is given to us. Amen.